The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you. I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Garrett discuss 5 tips to protect businesses that have to keep track of physical goods. When it comes to talking about the best accounting practices, it's easy to focus on the numbers on the page. The numbers are constantly changing and moving, and at some point, it's your job to make sure that the numbers end up in the right place. However, if your business carries physical goods and keeps them in stock, your numbers are representing these real physical goods. Just because your numbers end up in the right places doesn't mean your physical goods have. Today we're talking about details. By regularly following a few simple guidelines, you will catch discrepancies between balance sheets, purchase orders, and even your own eyes. Catching these small mistakes can keep your company in good shape and you in a job. On this episode, you'll hear Garrett Carraher's firsthand account of a company that lost track of the details. In this story, Garrett shares the lessons he learned working at a company that quickly ran into financial problems because of small mistakes in their accounting procedures. Next, we'll discuss how to track your GRNI, your goods received and not invoiced. It's important to record these items monthly and in an organized manner to maintain an accurate picture of your company's finances. Then we'll cover why you need to inspect your stock in person. Being on the ground and checking stock with your own eyes helps you catch errors that may not yet have shown up in the numbers. After that, we will talk about the importance of reconciling supplier statements with your records. This simple step takes time, but provides a consistent way to catch errors before they become too big. We will also go over how to calculate your profit margins. If you understand your actual profit margins, you'll be in a much better position to catch discrepancies and odd behavior in your accounting. And finally, we'll share one way to spot check your inventory. Doing a mini stock take of your high-value items and checking them with your records is a useful strategy for double-checking your work and provides extra safeguards around your most expensive items. If you keep physical goods in stock at your business, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Garrett.
Hello and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. It is your host, James Kennedy, CEO at ProcurementExpress.com. And I am joined, as ever, this morning by the secret CFO, Garrett Carraher. Garrett, how are you?
Very good, James. How's things today in Malahide? All good?
Life is beautiful here. So are you not worried that your secret CFO identity will be blown if people just go to LinkedIn and type in Garrett Carraher? Are you just counting no one will be able to spell Carraher correctly? So you'll be fine.
Yeah, Carraher is such an unusual name that people will find it hard to spell it. But even if they do, they can look me up. I'm not even on LinkedIn. That's how secret I am. I'm not on LinkedIn or Facebook.
Ah, very good. Okay, no wonder we can't find all our customers. They're all hiding. They're not on LinkedIn. That's where our salespeople are looking for you. You can't play unfair like that and hide. Okay, great. So we have definitely what is going to be the world's most exciting podcast episode about receiving goods and stock takes. Isn't that right, Garrett?
Yeah, this is a good one. I have a great story on how, you know, not keeping an eye on the detail can really cost you money, and maybe even some situations cost you your job.
Exciting. So how did you come across this? Is this someone you know, or is this an urban legend?
It's not an urban legend. None of these stories are ever legends, James. They're all personal experience. That's why they're so interesting. So a few years ago, I was working in a business, and the business was a large producer of baked products here in Ireland. And the company was growing significantly. They made a huge amount of money, and they were making par-baked products. So that's products where you bake them a certain level, then you actually put them into a huge spiral freezer, which freezes them down, stopping the baking process. They're then packaged and sent out to retail units. And the way the business worked was they were actually giving out, believe it or not, maybe another podcast, and it's actually give out free ovens to the retail units. The retail units were receiving the product and bake it in store. and then put on the shelves fresh the next day or that morning for the customer. So this really was an innovative way to produce goods and bake products. And of course, with any innovation, they made a colossal amount of money. So when you make a lot of money, what usually happens in businesses is they like to spend the money. So what are we going to do with the cash? So with the cash, they decided they were going to acquire another business. So as you know, and I'm sure listeners know, you always stick to the knitting. So they're not going to go off and buy a technology business. They're not going to buy a car dealership. They're going to buy another baking company. So the one they had an eye on was a business in Wales, in the UK. So they went over, they did a lot of research. You do your due diligence. They decided, right, we're going to buy this business. Now, the way they worked in the Irish company was a bit like Kerry Foods. So what they like to do is to train up their accountants in-house, and then they send the accountant out to any businesses they acquire. The reason behind this is they can leave in the ops and management team who have initially made the business very successful. But by having a financial person in there, if there's any issues, that financial person's loyalty will lie with the Irish company, and they're also Irish as well. And they will call back to the head office and let them know there's something going on here or something's gone wrong. So it's really smart thinking. It's done a lot by Kerry Foods, who I know bring a lot of people into Tralee there in Kerry, train them up and then send them back wherever they've purchased the business, be that in America, South America or whatever. So that actually happened in this case. The person who they were going to send over was a colleague of mine, really good guy, really smart guy. And this was a big move for him, you know, James, sort of saying, this is your big moment. You're going to go over and be the finance, head finance fella in this business in Wales, this baking company. The baking company made a delicious products. One of them was called Welsh Faggots. I think it was some kind of sausage roll or something. But over he went. Things were going great. He was making lots of money, as always. So he's looking at the accounts each month. They're making good margin, good profits. As with a lot of accountants, they're kind of on budget. That's what a lot of accountants do. So someone spends a lot of time doing up a budget, and then each month they're really hitting the budget every month. So I think the budget in this case might have been maybe 100,000 sterling of profit. So he was sending back accounts to the Irish office. He's hitting 95,000, 90,000, whatever. So the Welsh business looked like it was going good, looked like a good acquisition, everything happy days. So 6 months in, they decided to send another accountant from Ireland over. So, you know, maybe something had been flagged. I'm not quite sure of that part. But anyway, they sent another accountant over, another fellow I knew quite well. He got a girlfriend out of it, actually. So that worked out well for him, a Welsh girlfriend. But over he went. And the next month, the accounts came in. And instead of making a profit, they were making 40,000 sterling loss. And the month after, was making another loss. The minute the loss came in, the FD in Ireland, financial director in Ireland, immediately flew over, and he flew his whole management team over to Wales to find out what was going on. So what was going on? What had happened? How did this profitable business they had acquired gone from profit to loss? Well, it's a very simple thing that happened, and it happens to a lot of people if you don't keep an eye on the detail. So they had been, obviously they were a baking business, they'd been buying in a lot of flour, truckloads of flour. Truckload of flour could have been 20 grand a pop. So they're getting in truckloads and truckloads every week and every day to bake their products to sell. Now, what had happened was the store manager hadn't been receiving in the flour. So the truckload would land in. He wasn't recording correctly that the truckload had landed in, the flour had been landed in. And because the flour was going through so quick through the process and being turned into baked products and out the door, before he knew it, the invoices weren't coming in quick enough in the month. So suddenly you had a thing where he's selling maybe £1 million worth of products, finished products, but he's only recording 400,000 in cost of sales for the flour. But the reality was they had used maybe 500 or 600 quid worth of flour in the month. So
is it that they were not receiving the flour as it came into the factory, or was it they were ramping up and they were using last month's flour to make this month's profit?
Yeah, so what had happened was they weren't receiving in the flour. So the way they got it picked it up eventually is down the line, they were getting invoices in from the supplier of the flour, and he was looking for a lot more money and a lot more deliveries than they had recorded. And this is where they suddenly picked up, hold on now, instead of getting in 10 loads of flour for the month, we actually got in 15 loads or 14 loads, you know?
Hmm.
And because this was the main ingredient and an expensive ingredient at that, not recording those extra couple of shipments had a huge effect on the profit.
So it was just down to some bags or deliveries were receipted and some weren't, or was there some other nefarious intent going on to try and make the profit look better, or is that in the sands of time now and we'll never know?
We'll never know. I doubt very much. This was a really good guy. I doubt very much he was trying to any kind of messing going on, unless the MD was trying to pull the wool over his eyes, which might have happened, you know, since he was new to the business and they were trying to report better profits than actually could make in the long term. But I don't think he was, you know, he personally was certainly not involved in any kind of fraudulent activities. So I think it really was just a lack of accounting controls that caught him out.
So, and then had I wonder if the company had been bought on the basis of the phantom profit or the way it really was, because it sounds like it was actually a loss-making operation, or was it just that they had to suddenly account for all the flour they hadn't accounted for before, which pushed them into a loss?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I would suspect when the business was being sold or touted, you know, for sale, that they would have shown a margin that was attractive to the Irish company to buy them. So it would have shown a margin of, you know, 10, 15, 20% that looked attractive and made sense. But when the reality, you know, when the rubber hit the road, as to say, maybe they were just at break even, and maybe this could have been a reason why the company was sold as well. So, you know, a lot of blame there for different managers, and clearly the people who did the due diligence didn't really do a good job, I would say as well.
Amazing. I mean, because there's so many little things like that. This is just not receiving everything in properly. It's quite a small, well, it's obviously a big impact, but how are you supposed to trust the accounts? You know, you're really a lot of trust going into the look at any set of accounts for a business you're thinking of buying, and there's all these little things that could catch you out, probably dozens or hundreds of other little things that could catch you out in the same way. So now we have the secret CFO's 5-step process for making sure this never happens in your company. Is that right, Gert?
That is correct. So how can we stop this? How can we mitigate the chances of this happening to you or your business if you carry stock? So I have a couple of points or 5 points here that I think will really help you to mitigate any losses or any chance of fraud. So the first one is your GRNI. So GRNI stands for good received, not invoiced. So that means you've received in product or you've received in items, but they haven't been invoiced to you. Okay. So in that case, you need to record that each month and you need to make an accrual for it. So an accrual means you need to take in the cost for it in the month. So in the case of the flour, when the flour loads landed in, it should have been recorded by the store manager receiving in the flour that he had received in 10 loads of flour in the month. And when they went up to the accounts department, the accounts should see on the system 10 loads received in. They post the invoices in. They have 8 invoices, so they're too short. So in that case, they record, we need an extra, you know, whatever the value it is of those 2 loads, we need those extra costs recorded in the accounts in the month. So you say, okay, there's 2 loads, each load is 20 grand, so we need to record 40 grand more of cost in the month. And that goes into your P&L in the month and also hits your balance sheet. And that's a crucial part of doing your accounts each month. The second point I would make is it's important to, you know, be on the ground, walk around, see what's going on. You know, many businesses I've been in, it's really when you walk around and see what's actually happening in reality that you get a feel for the business. When you're doing accounts and you're sitting there looking at spreadsheets endlessly or an accounts package, you kind of lose touch of what's really happening in the business. It's key really just to go around, talk to people, talk to managers, have a walk through stores. I walk through the stores at least 2 or 3 times a week. Just walk around. Did it look tidy? What's going on? What's that up there? What's this box sitting over there? Who's this one going to? Just have a look around, talk to the people, find out what's going on. And like a simple thing like that in the example we talked about, where he just goes down and maybe talks to their manager and says, how many flower loads are we getting in this week? You know, are you receiving in them in the system? You know? And they walk back up the accounts and say to the person posting the invoices, you know, I've just been down there. He said he got in 10 loads this week. How many invoices did we get? And he says, well, I've only got 8. And where's the other two? Oh, well, they're on hold or there's some problem with them or they have the wrong PO number. And really following that up and just having, you know, a kind of an understanding of the business, you know, just kind of a, you know, an innate understanding. So, you know, well, actually, I know we do at least 10 loads a week of flour, but I think we've only got, you know, 6 or 8 loads recorded. There's something missing here, something wrong, you know, that kind of a feeling you get. The third tip I'd recommend any business to do, and this is a good one for picking up a lot of errors, actually, is to reconcile your supplier's statements or your creditor's statements. So that means every month you should get in statements from your suppliers, your creditors. They will list all the invoices they have sent you in the month. You need to check your system. Does it tie back to what they're saying? If it doesn't tie back, you've got a problem. Where is this? Where are these invoices? Did we get the goods in? Do we owe this money or not? And that's critical to keep a really good eye on what's going on. Because in that case, again, if he had looked at that and done a supplier rec, he would have seen that in the month he had posted 30 invoices, but the supplier is saying there's 40 invoices due, and he'd be able to quickly pick up what's going on there. And of course, you might look.
You just ask for a statement there, is that it? You just say, hey, give me a statement of all the outstanding invoices, and you use that to do your reconciliation.
Yeah, most of them would send you in a statement each month, but you would ask for it anyway. You definitely ask for it, especially. And I would suggest you look for high value or high torn items. So items that actually, your supplier, a key supplier that you buy a lot of stuff off, or items that you're torning a lot. So in the case of the flour, that's a key ingredient. He's going through a lot of that a month, and it's also a big spend. So it's hitting two things there where you want to go back and really reconcile that and see is it tying back to what the supplier says you owe as well. Number four then is to, and this can take a while, but to understand your margin, you know, what is your margin? What are you supposed to be making on these items, you know? So in the case of the flour, in the case of the Welsh factory, there would have been due diligence done. They might have said, we're making a 40% gross profit. So I would have suggested when my friend went in there, he probably was putting it at 40% gross profit. You know, that's okay. When you get a handle on it and you feel confident that things are going okay. But if you don't have a handle and you're really not sure what your numbers are really lying at, what is the real number, then that can lead you down a dark and dangerous path where you suddenly get caught out just like he did. So, you know, it's important to try and go in there and really get a good feel for your margin and understand what the real margin is. Because then it's very clear if you do your accounts and your margin is showing 50%, you immediately say there's something missing. And this happens to me all the time, all the time. You go in and you look, oh, I've made too much money here. There's something missing. Something's wrong. No question. Something's wrong. And what you do then is you make a provision. And I call this the provision for incompetency. So you make a provision there where you think I'm incompetent. There's a mistake there. I'm putting in an extra 10, 20, 50 grand to bring my margin back in line with what I think it should be. And we find out what the error is next month. So you can be under reporting, you know, you can be under pressure to get the accounts done. So you say, I'm just going to put it in a provision here at the moment, just to get it back on budget. And next, I look for it then in the next couple of weeks. So that's a good tip there. You know, keep it. If you don't understand it, don't report it. That's always my number one tip. If you don't understand what's going on, whatever you do, do not report it. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself into trouble. So the fifth one is cycle accounts. So what cycle accounts are is where you go in and you pick particular high value, usually high value items or high torn items, and you just count those items. Like it's like a mini stock take. And I know in another podcast, we're going to go through stock takes and why they're so important and how to get the most out of them. But in this case, we're just talking about a cycle account. So a cycle account, you do a mini stock take. So you would look on the system, you would see how many items you have of a particular high value product. You would go out then and see how many is actually in the stores. So do just count those items. Then you go back and look at the purchase invoices you've received in. So invoices you've posted, which shows how many you've bought recently. And then also your sales order. So many of these have you shipped recently. And then you would just do a quick reconciliation on that versus what's on your shelves in reality. And that can be very good. for picking up where things are going wrong. So maybe someone's taken something from stores and forgot to bill it. Maybe someone, we've bought in some stuff or hasn't been receipted in. Maybe someone's, some stuff has been misappropriated or taken when it shouldn't have been taken. Or maybe some stuff has gone obsolete. So you go out there and you count these items and you say, well, actually, five of these are no longer usable, or they're no longer, you know, we can't really actually sell them, or are damaged even, and we'll have to actually write them off. So cycle counts can be very good for that. Probably doesn't work for the example of the flour, because he was going through so much flour every week. But it's something that you can use in a lot of high-value businesses, really, to keep a track on your high-value items. So they're my five tips for really keeping an eye on your stock and keeping making sure that you mitigate any errors and mistakes.
Accountancy gold, Garrett. Accountancy gold. I can see, especially what I like there is, if you don't understand it, don't record it. That's if you hit, that sounds like a golden rule there. If you stick to that, then you'll understand everything in the business. So great. That's actually, I don't want to say I'm surprised. I'm saying this was pretty interesting when you get into the detail of it and you hear about actually what the troubles that can be caused by not taking these simple steps. And yeah, that's very good stuff, Garrett. Appreciate that. So we have this, along with these five tips, along with dozens of others. I think we're up to about 50 or more other tips in our book that Garrett and I are writing. You can get a copy at book.procurementexpress.com. There's a free chapter on negotiation. Easy win for any business is to help your staff to do a little bit of negotiation training. Maybe just read that chapter. It'll save you thousands of euros or dollars or whatever you're spending. And until that, we'll see you next week.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how detailed accounting practices can safeguard the goods you keep in stock. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. Don't forget to click on one of those links to get a free chapter from the book Profit Leaks by James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Gross Profit Podcast.